This is Comedy Store Wrestling.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Comedy Store Wrestling here live at the Comedy Store in Hollywood. I'm sitting next to the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel.
And we're going to play a game tonight. Try and guess which matches I didn't watch.
Ha!
It will be very apparent early.
My name is Eddie Torres, and we have a lot of wrestling to talk about. We don't have a guest today, but like I said, so much wrestling. We've got WrestleMania to cover and AEW and all the things, so we're just going to jump right into it. We'll start with night one of WrestleMania Sunday. I had fun with this WrestleMania, you know, just at the overall. I thought it was a good Mania.
You know, for as much as I shit on WWE, I watched both nights, not 100% of it, and I would give it a B. You know, usually it's just 10 hours of programming, but I thought a couple filler matches, that, you know, like the last AEW pay-per-view, this match could have been taken out.
Yeah.
But on the whole, a B, which is, for the WWE in this era, an A.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, man. I was, you know, anybody that heard the last episode and you saw our preview, we were not excited.
You know, I still stand by what we talked about was I didn't really care who won or lost a majority of the matches. And, you know, like some of these, I just didn't care still. But it was an entertaining card for sure for the most part.
Yeah, man. So to start it off, we had the Usos defeating Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs. As expected, I did not expect the Shinsuke and Boogs to win. But unfortunately, Boogs injured himself trying to squat one of the Usos and blew out his leg. So now he's out for 6 months.
I don't mean to talk about myself, but I did that exact same maneuver where I was trying to squat like 600 pounds. So when his knee buckled, I felt it.
Yeah.
And that's an injury. When you're a strength guy like Boogs, you're not going to be the same for probably at least a year in terms of doing that type of maneuver again. So just it's a bummer when you see that, because the injury is not the most painful part of the process. It's the rehabilitation. He's got a incredibly long road ahead of him. But Seth Rollins came back from his knee injury, so
yeah,
hope he gets better.
For sure. Yeah, he'll get better. And he's a big, you know, like you said, a big body guy. So he'll work out and get back in shape soon. But, you know, it's just kind of a bummer because he was kind of on an upward trajectory with his with the people. The crowd was into him. So hopefully when he comes back to a bigger pop. After that, we had Drew McIntyre defeating Happy Corbin with Madcap Moss. I didn't care about this match. I think I went to go pee during this match. But at the end of it, you know, they split up the Madcap and Happy Corbin duo, which I'm happy for because I hate him. And it seems like they're teasing the return of Sad Corbin, which is, that was his best gimmick when he was all down on his luck.
I mean, this is one of those don't care matches. I realize not every match on a two-night card can be, you know, Hulk Hogan against the Warrior or a ladder match with Hall and Michaels. But I feel bad for McIntyre because when he first came in, I thought this guy's the next star. And, you know, I just... when you're the second match on the card, that's not a good spot.
No. And then people online are like, ooh, he's the next. He should go up against Roman next. It's like, why? He has a lot of building back up to do. I don't think he would be a good number, you know, to go up against Roman right now.
Yeah, because even though you're the second card of the match, you're still warming up the crowd, which for a guy like McIntyre, especially, like, when you come in with such lofty expectations and you're basically on the first night the warm-up, it's like being a warm-up comic.
Yeah.
You want to go on later, not too much later, but that's my problem. So you know, it was a harmless match, not great, not bad, it was just there.
Yeah, people need a pee break, it's fine.
Second match in, you gotta go to the bathroom already. Yeah. What are you drinking?
Lots of
stone cold beer.
Steve Weiser's, which I have with me right now. Yeah. After that, we had The Miz and Logan Paul defeating the Mysterios. I mean, Logan Paul came out with the most expensive Pokemon card in the world. It was $5 million around his neck. And I don't like the guy in terms of, you know, his past. He's had some shady things that he's done on the internet, so I'm not a big fan. But he was impressive. He pulled out some good moves and looked like he's actually training in the ring. So props to him for that, I guess. But going over the Mysterios, I mean, they're just burying the Mysterios right now. It's pretty sad, especially because Rey is on the cover of the video game. Like, why are you doing this?
You know, it goes back to what we said, was it the last episode, when, in my opinion, AJ Styles has never been the same with the fans since Shane McMahon out-wrestled him. Like, what?
Yeah.
And I feel the very, and I think I brought this up when we did our prediction show. I thought it was a fun match. And I mean, like you just said, I'll be honest with you. I wanted to see Logan Paul get creamed and have him kind of suck so we could all go, hey, these Paul brothers are awful. But he killed it. Like, for a non-wrestler, and I'll assume you probably would know more than me, I'll guess maybe 6 months of training, if that.
Yeah, something like that.
He pulled it off. He did some moves that, you know, kind of bury Mysterio when you're outperforming one of the greatest technical wrestlers of the last 30 years. Of all time, it makes you look good, but it also makes Rey Mysterio look bad, and his kid.
Yeah, his kid has no future now.
I mean, when you're getting buried and you're just starting out, it's not impossible to recover, but it's not a good start.
Yeah, he's starting from the way, way bottom, especially when we get into like the follow-up Raws and stuff a little bit later. After that, we had Bianca Belair defeating Becky Lynch, getting her redemption, becoming the women's champ for Raw. From, you know, when she lost the belt to Becky in like 30 seconds when Becky returned. I think it was SummerSlam. I don't remember exact the pay-per-view, but she got her redemption. I'm happy for her. Becky's new look was horrifying with the red under her eyes and the weird haircut. It was just terrifying. I don't know. I don't know what she was going. I don't know if that's what she's going for, but good for Bianca.
I mean, it seemed like with Becky, they gave her Alexa Bliss's throwaway makeup. just, you know, put the stuff under your eyes and, you know, the black shadow. Like, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of the women's division in either company right now, but I think it was good for Bianca. Like, they're pushing her. So this is one of those rare WWE decisions that it makes sense on paper to do what they did.
Yeah. And I mean, the match was full of botches. You know, Bianca came out at the follow-up Raw with a giant black eye, swollen, and, like, you know, she got some live rounds that match.
Yeah.
So it was a rough match to watch, but whatever. The outcome was good. And then Seth Rollins comes out wearing some lacy Victoria's Secret outfit, which I did not understand, but, you know, kudos to him to, you know, have the balls to wear that in public. And then, you know, he teasing who the surprise was going to be. Everybody knew it was Cody. There was Cody chance happening, but I personally popped. It was 2 a.m. I was laying in bed in New York City, completely wasted from a night of partying, and I popped. I started getting excited because I did not expect Cody to come out with the AEW entrance and the gear. And everything, the music, and it was AEW's Cody Rhodes. It wasn't a new gimmick. It wasn't Dashing Cody. It wasn't Stardust, you know? So that made me excited. It felt like a legitimate big deal to me to see that.
I mean, this was the first match that kind of woke me up on the card, you know, which is typical, 3 or 4 matches in already. Let's get to the good stuff. Mm. I mean, I know there were some online reports that possibly Bray Wyatt was coming back, but...
Shane O'Mac was the big rumor. Everybody was like, it's going to be a swerve. It's going to be Shane.
Which, you know, I love seeing Shane McMahon take bumps. And for what Seth Rollins did to Sting, I would love to see Shane O'Mac go over. But I hold grudges, as you can tell.
Yeah,
that outfit that Rollins was wearing was like part Rick Rude. You know, with the sexiness part, Adrian Adonis when he started gaining weight. I don't know if they're burying Rollins or they're just now he's that ultimate gatekeeper where you bring a surprise in or you use him to prop up a younger talent, an NXT person. So, you know, Rhodes is, I think we talked about this 2 episodes ago. I just see him as an upper mid carder, you know, especially in WWE, and you know they're going to bury him at some point. I mean, when your first feud's The Miz, well, I guess technically it's Rollins, but when your first, like, big, okay, we're going to do promos and vignettes, it's The Miz, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, The Miz is not a top card guy, but it was a good, in terms of microphone skills, it was a good pairing just because Cody's really good on the mic, and The Miz, if he can do anything, it's talk on the mic. So, you know, I believe they're going to shoot Cody up all the way to the top, give him the belt, and then have him drop it right away and then bury him down and then he'll retire or something. But again, I felt, and maybe it was the alcohol talking, but I felt when I was watching that match and listening to that song that, I forget what it's called, Kingdom, I think it's called, his entrance music, it just felt like AEW versus WWE for me for a few minutes there. Like, I was like, wow, this is the Forbidden Door. This is it. This is, you know, it's happening. Even though he signed a contract and he's part of WWE now, it still felt like AEW versus WWE in there. And of course, Cody has to go over. I mean, you're going to have that big debut and then have him lose. So,
well, I mean, not necessarily. I mean, look at Sting. I'll go back to, you know.
Yeah, you know, there's that too.
but I mean, that's the ultimate, in theory, you think, yeah, you should win your opening or your, not, it's not his
debut
first match ever, but in WWE. But, you know, I could see the WWE say, oh, you left to form AEW and give us legit or semi-legit competition, at least for NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? You're going to get embarrassed on our biggest card. So anything's possible with Vince McMahon. And I hate to say this, but if you've seen him in an interview lately, and I want to watch my words here. I don't want to get canceled. The older he's getting Biden-esque. So it would not surprise me to have him bring in at some point someone from AEW, a Jericho or whoever, and just bury them.
Yeah But the thing is, I think with Cody, Vince is such a man, like a weird guy, that he likes it when people are rebellious and like spit in his face. He's like, oh yeah, good job, pal, you went out and you stuck it to me, you know. So I think that's why they let him go over here. But but yeah, good match. I thought it was a great match, you know, in terms of the mat work. Solid. Then followed up with Charlotte Flair defeating Ronda Rousey, which was a surprise. I was really expecting Ronda to come out and just, you know, do her thing and take the belt and then have her drop it at SummerSlam so that, you know, Charlotte could keep getting those title reigns up so she can match her daddy. But yeah, I'm going to be honest. I didn't watch much of this match. It was another pee break for me.
Jeez, what were you drinking?
Lots of beer. Did you watch it?
I did, actually.
Okay.
Now I'm going to, for the fans, you know, email us or tweet at us or IG us, whatever you kids do. And I did not watch two matches on this card.
Oh.
So maybe we'll do a surprise poll. And if you get the right answer, we'll do a prize. I'll come to your town and bomb for 45 minutes.
Oh, man. And then the end of the night, Kevin Owens comes out to do his KO show, calls out Stone Cold Steve Austin. And, you know, Steve comes out, loudest pop WWE's had in years, of course. I was giddy like a little kid because, you know, Stone Cold's my guy. So I was really excited. I was also very excited to hear that he wanted a match. Oh, I tricked you into a match. That's what KO said to Stone Cold. But, you know, I think we all knew there was a match coming or some kind of something happening. But they had a legitimate, actual match.
Is that what you call it?
Hey, man, Stone Cold took a suplex to the concrete. I was not expecting that.
No, I mean, for a guy with his neck injuries, and I'm assuming he has many other injuries, and you know,
I'm sure his knees are not very good.
Lower back, like, yeah. As a man of 53 years of age, I think that's probably, how old is Stone Cold? Like, probably about that age.
He's
maybe
in his 50s.
Maybe a little older. I can tell you, your body is a wreck in your 50s. So I respect to Stone Cold, even though he's blocked me on Twitter for no reason, that, you know, he had the drive to do that at his age. Although, and I don't want to cut, you want to tell us what happened at the end with Vinnie Mac?
Oh, no, that was the following day. We'll talk about that. That was day two.
Oh, I think we just gave away what match I didn't watch.
But I thought it was an actual match. You know, there was moves, way more than what I expected. I thought we were going to get like maybe a chair shot, a couple stunners, and that was it. It went on for like 15 minutes. Lots of beers popped throughout the match. Really, really fun for me as a fan of Stone Cold to see that and just end the night on that. It was a big way to end the night, I think.
See, I'm a big Kevin Owens fan.
Well, same. I love KO too, but you know.
I just, you know, this is a spot for him where it's probably the biggest match
of his career. Yeah,
but you know, definitely the first night, and you know, you're basically jobbing to Stone Cold, which you know he should, but you know, he must feel weird about like putting Stone Cold over, which he's already over, but like. You know, I think when you're in your prime, like KO is, you want to be the one getting put over, not...
Sure. Yeah, but I mean, I think I saw like a post-match interview with KO, and it, you know, he just... It's just an honor for him. Like, he's grew up watching Stone Cold, so to be in the ring with him at a Mania, at the main event, as the last match, like, that's a big deal. Regardless of who wins, I think it's just a good thing to put on your resume, you know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And he'll probably be put over at some point in a future WrestleMania because he's still got a lot of gas in the tank. Or he'll be on AEW Dynamite in a year.
Yeah. And then so night two, we're going to jump right into it. We had RK-Bro defeating the Street Profits and Alpha Academy. I mean, the expected outcome for me, I honestly didn't think either the Street Profits or Alpha Academy were going to win. But I also didn't expect them to keep the feud going, which is what's going on Raw. They just kept going with now the Street Profits and Alpha Academy are still having matches with RK-Bro. So it just feels a little weird. But, you know, I'm happy for Randy Orton. He seems to be having the time of his life right now.
I mean, I still have problems with him as a tag wrestler. To me, he'll always be a singles guy.
Yeah.
And I know he did a few when he was in Evolution, you know, when they switched out partners. But... this feud just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, it's not.
But, you know, maybe he's in a tag situation now because his body, you know, he's had some pretty horrific injuries. You know, I'm sure he likes not having to do 50% of the work in the match so he can heal up. You know, on paper, I'll give the WWE this. It made sense to put them over. I don't know if it makes sense, like you said, to extend the feud.
Yeah.
But we'll see where they go with it.
Yeah. Bobby Lashley came out to fight Omos and beat Omos, which also surprised me because I thought they were just, you know, pushing this giant to the moon, but apparently not. And it ended up with MVP turning on Bobby Lashley and now taking over as manager for Omos, which he needs. He needs a mouthpiece because he's awful on the mic and he's awful in the ring too, but at least now he's got a mouthpiece and he can just be the big guy and not say much.
Yeah, I mean, I love, you know, I grew up in the 80s when you saw guys like this all the time, you know, Giant Gonzalez and, you know, later on, obviously, the great Khali and we'll get into the guy from AEW.
Oh, boy.
I get why they have him. He's a giant and he looks the part, which Vince loves to look, I think, more than the actual skills of the big guys anyway.
Yeah.
But he definitely needs a Heyman, an MVP, anyone, me or you or Sosus, because he really has no redeeming qualities. Like you said, I echo everything you said, bad on the mic, horrific in the ring. And that's not his fault. He hasn't done it that long. But, you know, you're getting paid to be in a Monday Night Raw, WrestleMania.
Yeah, you take the job.
I don't worry about it.
Like, yeah.
It's our job to criticize you if you are not good. And, you know, I mean, he'll always have a future because of his size, but boy, they better pair him with someone who knows how to, you know, work a match.
Yeah. I think the big guys usually don't really work well in the ring. They're too big. So I don't know. Afterwards, we had your pick and John's pick of the funnest night of Mania. Johnny Knoxville defeating Sami Zayn. You were very adamant on Sami not losing that match, but you know it was the entire Jackass crew basically versus Sami Zayn.
I mean, here's my thing. it was definitely a very fun match. Like, I laughed a few times. Like, when the, was it Wee Man came out from under the ring?
Oh,
or Chris Pontius, one of those guys. I'm not a huge Jackass guy, so.
Pontius is the one that took his pants off and danced around in his thong. Yeah.
I just, and I know you guys disagree with me, I just think when you have a legitimate wrestler, and I know he's a comedy guy at times, but when you put Johnny Knoxville and the fat guy from Jackass over him, it just, as a old school wrestling guy, it's, I almost look at it when Arquette won, like, it's just like, you know, but Zayn's young enough to recover. I just hate it when an outsider, at least Logan Paul, and I'll give Knoxville this, he took the shots, like,
yeah,
and we all knew he would take the bumps like a champ. But at least Logan Paul, you could spin it as, hey, this guy's pretty good. You can't tell me. Johnny Knoxville's my neighbor. I see him jogging. Like, his body is horrific. Like, and I love him because he put our friend Rachel in the movie and made her career right now. But, like, you can't tell me that a guy with a concave chest, no muscle definition, and pale as a ghost, with gray hair, this can beat Sami Zayn. It's like, no.
Well, you know, again, at least it was the whole crew, and he got pinned by a mouse, giant mouse trap that didn't really go off. They had a struggle with it to try to get it to work properly.
I mean, I don't want to take it too seriously. Like, right. Sometimes I think, Jesus, dude, this is phony wrestling. It's like, they can have him lose to Johnny Knoxville and be caught in a bear trap and get kicked in the testicles. But, you know, I just don't like it when outsiders go over. You know, same thing. You know, so what do you do with Zayn now? Do you put him in another comedy match where
they had him do a thing? I think it was on SmackDown where he came out and was like, "I'm gonna fight whoever comes out of this door." And Drew McIntyre comes out, and he's like, "I'm gonna fight the next person that comes out of this door." Yeah, I mean, he's gonna be in that low card comedy routine for a bit. I don't know if he's gonna recover into a main event picture ever.
I mean, you know, it's like, why not have him do the Heath Slater gimmick? You know, I'm the one
I've
man
got kids.
Man. Sid Vicious comes out and kicks his ass. So, you know, we're wrestling fans. We get what it is. It's scripted entertainment. You can rewrite a storyline for Zayn to become the greatest pro wrestler of all time. I just, like you said, it's a subtle Barry job to him, so I hope he recovers because he's an amazing talent.
Yeah, he is. He should come back as El Generico, when he had the lucha mask in the indies. I'm okay with him coming back as that. If you want a more serious, very upset, and get a good chuckle, go listen to Cornette's review of this match, Jim Cornette.
Yeah, but he hates everyone.
He hates everyone, but this one was he was particularly livid for this one.
Well, he's an old school. Like, I'm probably the same age as Jim Cornette, maybe a little younger, but like I think we're from the same mindset of you can't, like, I don't think either one of us, I'm criticizing myself here, get the it's a humor match. It's supposed to be Johnny Knoxville going over him so people laugh at Sami Zayn for the next angle. But that's the problem. They're going to be laughing at him in the next angle, the next angle. So, you know.
We'll see where it goes for him. After that, we had all the rest of the women in WWE in a weird tornado tag match where Sasha Banks and Naomi win, become the champions. They're already teasing Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan splitting up, which, I mean, I thought they were a terrific pairing. They look the part, and they look great, and they came out wearing, like, some weird dominatrix bunny outfits, which I was all about. So I hope they don't break them up, because I do like the pairing. But the women's division, especially the women's tag division, is just such a mess. So whatever. Sasha Banks, Naomi, new SmackDown, or new women's tag champions. Good for them, I guess.
I mean, this is definitely a bathroom break for me.
Yeah.
And the women are tremendous athletes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no disrespect to the women, but to me, it's like watching women's basketball, you know, versus men's basketball. It's just, there's just certain limitations.
Well, it's also the booking and the writing. There's no booking. There's no writing. There's no story. Like, they just got all the rest of the women and threw them in this match. Like, there's no, it feels like there's no effort being put into building this.
Yeah, and how do you not have Alexa Bliss on WrestleMania?
Boy, oh boy. You know, you can't.
I mean, dude, you've got two nights. What is it? I'll estimate 10 hours of programming. You can't tell me that she should not be in wrestling. And even in that match, it would have been like, you know, have her come back, I don't know, as the Fiend's assistant, just to like F with the crowd. Oh, maybe Bray Wyatt's coming in. And like, and she does something, you know, have her come out with Elias and, or Ezekiel.
Yeah. She wasn't even in Dallas.
That's crazy. I know she was getting married, which is congratulations.
Yeah.
But like, to not have, I would argue, she's a top five women's personality. To not even have her in the state of Texas.
She wasn't there, and they had her set up. The Alexa's Playground was at the Fan Access event, the Fan Festival. They had her playground there, and she wasn't. It just made no sense at all. And she tweeted out. Somebody was like asking her, like, where are you? And she just put shrug, like, I don't know. I'm here at home waiting. So I don't know. I don't know what they're doing with her. It's kind of sad. They built these weird therapy session packages for her and did nothing with it.
Is Vince Russo booking her as an individual artist?
I guess so, man. Afterwards, we had Evil Edge come out and defeat AJ in a match, which, like you said, you know, AJ hasn't recovered. And this is more evidence of that. I think this is something that, yeah, I get it. Edge needs to get his new gimmick over. But how do you bury AJ like this? I mean, I know they're following up with it on the next, you know, TV shows. They followed up with it, and now they have him like Damian Priest came out and joined Edge and became the House of Black if you order them on Wish, according to Brody King. It was just kind of weird. I like the new gimmick for Edge. I do. I just didn't really think he needed to go over here, but whatever, he did. AJ came out bleeding because he smashed his face on the giant WrestleMania sign in the entranceway. It was kind of sad.
But I love these two guys, so yeah. I would have been fine with either one winning. I'll just assume that AJ Styles is now in that, I'm going to lose some people with this reference, that Frank Mir UFC you know, situation where Frank Mir, champion, great fighter, but then he was just used in it as an enhancement talent. And that's basically what AJ Styles is being used as. So, you know, he's a guy I look for in the future to possibly go to AEW because I think he's run out of options in terms of his ceiling at WWE.
Yeah.
So, but it's not like he's, you know, he's putting Edge over, so I'm okay with that.
Sure, Edge is great. Yeah, Edge is great. I just really, you know, Edge has gotten his Mania moments.
Yes.
And I think AJ has less of those and deserved at least one more, but whatever. I do like Edge's new look. I like the darker stuff, too. You know, as you've seen me, I'm a metalhead, so I like the evil, dark stuff. And it's really, I thought it was really fun watching the promo on the follow-up Raw because the crowd loves him. And they kept trying to, like, tease the crowd, like, calling them stupid and calling them sheep. And the crowd was like, we are sheep. We are. Like, they're into it. And I thought it was fun to see also their rebuttals. Like, Edge was like, oh, yeah, thanks for, you know, agreeing with us.
I mean, he's one of those guys who's one of the very, very few people I've seen in the history of me watching wrestling that can be good as a face and a heel. Because, yeah. Everyone knows him. He's a great guy out of character, but you know, I think he's like Rick Rude, where everyone loved Rick Rude. You know, you've never heard really a bad word about Rude outside the ring, but he loved playing a heel. And I think Edge, he's trying to bust through that nice guy, even as someone who's been doing it as long as he's been doing it, he's still considered, he's a great guy. And I think this is his way to like, I'm not.
And, you know,
idiots.
I love that he turned the song into a thing, like, you think you know me. That was, like, his entrance song. And, like, you don't. And I also like that he's one thing my wife pointed out, Edge is looking a little rough, no disrespect. The older he gets, he's got these, like, sunken-in cheeks. He looks evil. So it works. I think it works. So good for him.
And that pains me to see. I mean, we all age. If you really want to see aging in his ultimate form, watch the current Bon Jovi.
Oh no,
the YouTube clips. Like, you gotta understand, as a 53-year-old, I'm as straight as you can get. But Bon Jovi and Edge, very similar looking, to be honest with you, were amazing looking guys. But it sucks to see them get old because, you know, he does have edge. And we could probably say Bon Jovi, too. It's got, like, it's like he's deflating.
Yeah, yeah, like, he's sinking into himself.
And yeah.
So, yeah.
But he's still better looking than both of us, so.
No, I mean, I was going to say, props to you, man, if being the age that you are, you do not look anywhere near as bad as Mr. Edge. You look great.
53, no roids. I mean, most of my hair, I got a big head, but.
Yeah, it's the yoga, man. It's the yoga. All right. After that, we had Sheamus and Ridge Holland with Butch, which is bruiserweight, defeating the New Day. Xavier Woods is no longer King Woods. I don't know what happened there. They just kind of decided to drop the gimmick completely, which is weird because I thought what Woods was doing as King was fantastic with Kofi being his like right-hand man, the right-hand of the King, and them doing those ridiculous like Game of Thrones type speeches. I thought it was funny and it fit the characters, but whatever. And then they buried the New Day. I don't get it. I don't get it.
I think Big E was probably like, man, I'm glad I broke my neck so I didn't have to do this shit.
You know, and it's like they said it was like a tribute to Big E. You know, they wore his outfit. They dressed up like him. And it's, that just shows you what WWE thinks of Big E and the New Day. It's like, yeah, this is your tribute. This is nice, but guess what? You're losing. We don't care.
I mean, I think with New Day, it's just they've the gimmick's a little stale to me.
That's why I like the King stuff because I was like, okay, this is a little different. You know,
it's funny. You know, I love those switch of you know being these big happy brutes to like this cerebral humor. But I think overall, they need to either become heels or some you know. Renaissance change because it's just the outfits, the shtick, the happy faces. It's you know, it's like when Hogan turned bad. It was time. They need something like that to get people interested or restart the fire.
And hopefully, it's not pancakes this time. Afterwards, we had Pat McAfee and Austin Theory. As I told you in the preview episode, I love Pat McAfee. I think he's really good in the ring, really good on the mic. He went over Austin Theory here. Mr. McMahon was at the side and on the ringside, and after Pat McAfee pins Austin Theory, Mr. McMahon comes and takes his jacket off and gets in the ring. And boy, oh boy, did we have a Vince McMahon versus Pat McAfee match or something.
I mean, I'll give McMahon this before we shit on the match and what happened after. He looks great for, what is he, 76?
70-something.
Like when you consider Donald Trump is maybe 2 years younger than Vince McMahon and looks horrible, and really McMahon's almost up there with Biden age-wise. He looks amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, even my wife was like, wow, look at him. I'm like, settle down, lady. So, McMahon gets in the ring. He kicks a Dallas Cowboys football into Pat McAfee and gets the assist from Austin Theory, pins Pat McAfee, and wins a match at WrestleMania, which was hilarious to me. And then out comes Stone Cold Steve Austin. I would be remiss not to mention the fact that Vince forgot what Austin Theory's music was, because it hits, and he kind of acts surprised, like Stone Cold was coming out. And then he's like, oh, okay, no, yeah, this is Austin Theory's music. But then Stone Cold comes out and stuns everyone in the ring. And I have a hot take. I have a little bit of a hot take, because everyone was shitting on the way Vince took that stunner.
Horrible.
Horrible, right? Everybody says that. It was the worst stunner in history. I'm going to go ahead and say, if a 70-something-year-old man gets stunned, that's exactly how it would go. He would just collapse into himself as, like, all his bones were shattered. I think it wasn't intentional. I'm not saying Vince did that on purpose. But I feel like if we want to look at it in a realistic lens, that's pretty much what would happen. That old man would just fall down like he forgot how to stand.
Well, I think that's the problem with the internet is you can go on YouTube and the network and see all these amazing stunners. See Stone Cold, I'm saying something nice about you.
Even Austin Theory's stunner was ridiculous. He fucking flew in the air.
Yeah.
Like 10 feet in the air.
He did the Scott Hall sell job. So it just was bad. But, you know, it's like also Vince McMahon's 75. Like,
yeah.
He shouldn't be, you know, doing the Scott Hall sell job. It sucks watching, and not so much. And Stone Cold, I don't know, applied it the best way. It was kind of a botch by both, I thought.
Well, when he kicked him, Vince fell back. And I think that's what kind of threw everybody off, because he wasn't supposed to fall back. He was just supposed to kind of crouch. But, I mean, you know, props to Steve for laughing his ass off. It became a funny moment. It was a botch, but it was still a funny moment. Everybody that I talked to had laughed their ass off watching this ridiculousness happen, you know?
But I will say, I've had the stunner done to me by John Morrison, Johnny Mundo, you know, when we
John
did
Hennigan,
Jesus
episode
Christ.
Three.
I'm still trying to figure out all his nicknames. but, you know, he told me we did a roast battle and we had planned a little stupid ending just to, you know, keep the wrestling marks in the crowd happy. And he's like, dude, I'm going to give you a stunner, but whatever you do, don't turn your head. And, you know, it doesn't look like a complex move, but to take it, it kind of is, because your head's down there. And, of course, I turned my head and his knee hit me just right upside my head. And John Morrison is an incredible, or John Hennigan, he's an incredibly strong guy. It hurt. Like, I was effed up.
Yeah.
So I don't want to go too hard on Vince.
No, like I said, I honestly think that's exactly what would happen. He would just collapse into himself. And then Pat McAfee takes a stunner too. And boy, I laugh my ass off because he's outside on the floor, stunned, but still pouring beer on himself. I thought that was fantastic.
I like him. He is probably my favorite newer character in WWE because he gets it.
Like, yeah, he gets it.
So it's nice. You know, some of the guys from recent years, they don't get it.
Yeah,
you could tell Pat McAfee was a fan of 80s and 90s wrestling, and he's paying respect to the business.
Yeah. And then finally, the biggest WrestleMania match of all time that we've seen six times. I'm not going to really talk much about this. It was exactly what I thought. Roman Reigns wins, unifying the belts, and Brock is now not even, he was in the promotions for WrestleMania Backlash. He is no longer there. He's just not part of it. I think he's going to take a break. Got to go away for a while before coming back, because how do you recover from that? I mean, what are you going to do? Put him against Roman again? I mean,
yeah. I mean, we've talked about this, I think, on every episode.
Yeah.
That it's just the same match. And you know, they're two obviously amazing talents. And the lineage of Roman Reigns, The Rock, and The Usos. And you know, Lesnar, I know he's a part-timer, but he's still a phenomenal and freakish athlete. I wish I cared more about who won or lost. Like, it's just, it's almost like when, you know, like when I cared when Booker T and Benoit did their 7 out of 7 matches, I cared, because it was like, it was a good build-up and whatnot. I don't care who wins between Lesnar and Reigns. I don't.
And the problem is, now they've backed themselves into a corner. Like, who beats Roman now?
Yeah, so
who takes those belts off of him if it's not leukemia? You know?
I don't know. The big black guy, Ormus?
Oh, God. I mean, Cody?
That's a Vince move there, is put the belt on this guy. Oh, well, he sucks in the ring. He sucks in the mic. Let's put the strap on him.
Yeah, that's what happened with Jinder Mahal. That's how he became champion. God. All right, so then we have so much wrestling.
This is out of control. We're going to have to speed through some of this.
Yeah, we're going
to
speed through some of
it. Not a lot, but we'll get going.
We gave Mania the time. Now we'll speed through some of the TV shows. But Raw after Mania, Cody came out, gave a great speech about Dusty Rhodes, and that's his motivation to get the belt. So hopefully they follow through and give Cody a challenge against Roman.
Maybe. I will say, I'm not the biggest Rhodes fan. That was an amazing speech. Like, yeah, that got me pumped up. Like, I was watching it because I thought, well, we're going to do a Raw recap and a WrestleMania recap. I better watch this. And I got pumped up, like, because I was a Dusty Rhodes fan. So, you know, but leading this into a Miz feud, it's, I don't know.
Well, I think the Miz was just kind of like to get him on Raw. I think now it's going back to Rollins, because they're doing WrestleMania Backlash, Rollins versus Cody Part 2. Rollins came out and interrupted the speech. Well, he didn't really interrupt the speech. He finished the speech, but then came out and gave him a handshake. And then they followed up on the following Raw, getting that, you know, getting the match set for WrestleMania Backlash. Rhea Ripley and Liv lose to Sasha and Naomi again. And now they're doing singles matches to see if they can get another title shot. I don't know what the hell's going on with them, so I'm just going to gloss over that one. Then what I thought was the funniest moment, Elias comes back during KO's promo, but he looks a little different, wearing different gear, has no beard. And I got to say, I at first, I'm like, they're not doing this. But the way KO sold it, he no-sold the gimmick change. He was just like, you're Elias. And he's like, no, I'm his younger brother. He's like, no, you're not. Like, you're definitely not. You're Elias. And so they won me over with that, going with that angle, that, that KO was no-selling the gimmick change.
I mean, I do like Elias or Ezekiel. He's very, very funny. And I don't know if he's just complacent now and, hey, I'm a humor guy. I'll never be taken seriously as a... Because he's a pretty good wrestler, but he's almost... I think Sami Zayn is looking at his future. Like, this is the type of stuff you're going to be doing. I like the gimmick, and, you know, Kevin Owens has a... He doesn't have a traditional humor personality, but he's pretty funny the way he... You know, like when him and Elias were in, the, where was it, Seattle, and they got the crowd hating them because they...
Oh, yeah.
You know... Kevin Owens is a great straight man.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do with Elias or Ezekiel. you know, it is kind of, like, funny. Like, he's got amnesia or something.
Yeah.
So, I hope he gets a match out of this.
Yeah. I think he'll be – we'll see KO versus Ezekiel at some point. I think it's funny. I'm hoping it stays to being funny, and I hope they don't try to seriously try to sell him as the younger brother to us. Yeah, have it be amnesia or something, or just some kind of weird thing. Then finally, Veer Mahan comes. He's been coming soon for months and months and months, over 200 days or some ridiculous number. Finally shows up and squashes the Mysterios. Poor Mysterios, man. They are just not... Who did they piss off?
Vince, Triple H, Pat Patterson, you know... Whoever else is doing the creative right now, it's
so weird. I thought that, you know, having the cover of the game would actually lead to some kind of the final title run for Mysterio, but nope.
It's like the Madden. Nope. Yeah. You get the cover of Madden, you get a season ending debilitating injury.
Yeah. Yep. After that, Bron Breakker of NXT versus Dolph Ziggler, who was the NXT champion, and Bron Breakker gets his belt back. I don't know why this was on Raw. It should have just been on NXT. I guess they're trying to bring, and I'm sure Vince fell in love with Bron Breakker, who is Steiner's kid, you know, and wants him on the show. But it just didn't make sense to have this on Raw. I don't get it.
Well, I think it's, I don't know if it has anything to do with it, but, you know, we saw a Ring of Honor match on AEW.
Yeah.
So I think they're going, oh, maybe we should do that with NXT. You know, just have him on the Monday Night card every now and then. So,
yeah.
And why don't they call Bron Breakker Steiner?
Because they don't own the name. They don't own the Steiner name.
But didn't the Steiners get in the Hall of Fame? I'm sure there's a goodwill. Like, hey.
Yeah, you would. I would hope that eventually they give him the Steiner name. Cause...
I would think it would benefit. What's going on here? What kind of a production is this back ambient noise?
All right. Yeah, hopefully Steiner gets his... hopefully Steiner gets his name because he deserves it. And, you know, the Steiner's got the Hall of Fame thing, which we're not going to cover the Hall of Fame. That was...
We don't have time.
We don't have time for that. Finn Balor, the U.S. champion, and RK-Bro, the tag champions, lose to the Usos in theory for some reason. I don't know what's going on with this program. I don't care. I feel so bad for Finn Balor. This is ridiculous.
I mean, I feel bad. Well, it's good Orton's winning, but it's like...
He didn't even win this match. They lost to the Usos in theory for some reason. It was for no reason whatsoever. It's stupid. Edge and Priest came out, gave another promo. That's fine. Street Profits came out and won over Alpha Academy. I don't really care. Like I said, this is a continuation of that stupid feud to try. Like, they're going to have another three-way match for those tag belts. I don't care. And then Roman comes out, closes the night for some reason, because he's now the Raw champion, so I guess he has to show face.
He doesn't.
There was a very meh Raw after Mania, which traditionally the Raw after Mania is a big fucking deal.
And it's huge.
Yeah, and this year was just whatever. The SmackDown, though, was much better. I thought, personally. Ronda comes out and challenges Charlotte for another match at WrestleMania Backlash, which I'm assuming she'll win that one, because otherwise, why are you paying Ronda all this money, you know, to just lose twice?
She might need it, you know, like, because to be honest with you, I know what the UFC fighters make, and even like someone of her, even in her prime, wasn't, you know, it's not like boxing where you get $30 million a fight, $40 million a fight. Ronda, maybe got $2 million in her prime, and that, you know, sounds like a lot, but you know, once you,
yeah, you buy a house, you have a kid,
kids, car, you know,
they have a farm apparently, so yeah,
your movie career kind of stalled out after you got, you know, bopped twice in a row, which no shade there. I mean, she was she made the women's martial arts world.
Yeah.
So, you know, she might just be doing this as a cash grab, to be frank.
She was apparently pissed off with her booking. I don't know. I think she wanted the main event over Stone Cold on WrestleMania Night 1.
That didn't happen.
But that's not happening. So then we have the debut of Walter on SmackDown, who comes out as Gunther, which I hate. And they also changed his tag partner, Marcel Barthel, into Ludwig Kaiser. Very stupid name change, but Walter came out and chopped the shit out of some jobber, and it was fantastic. So, props. I love Walter.
I did like the squashing of the jobber. Like, it was very, like, you know, like in the early 80s, you fans who were around then, there was a guy by the name of Frankie Hernandez who was just the guy you just threw out there to get the shit beaten out of. So, you know, and it's maybe the younger fans probably don't like the squash matches because they really just 5 minutes of putting, you know, whoever over. But I kind of miss him.
Yeah, no, and it was perfect for Walter because that's what you need. You need him to come out and chop, power bomb. That's it. I will say I'm happy for Walter's weight loss. He looks great, but he looks less intimidating than he did in his indie days when he was like a bigger guy, way bigger, way more intimidating. But good for his health. Lacey Evans is back, and now she is very sad. She was like a, you know, high-end, hoity-toity, you know, Miss Liberty Bell kind of character, but now she is, my dad sucked, and I'm in the military, and everything, you know, she's got a sad backstory now, but I'm glad to see her back, because she's a talent, I'd say.
Well, I mean, Michael Jackson's dad sucked. I'm sure Lacey Evans' dad wasn't that bad, but... you know, it's definitely a new avenue for her. We'll see what happens. I didn't think the crowd didn't pop that hard for it,
no,
to be honest. So,
no.
You know, we'll see what happens.
As I mentioned earlier, Sami Zayn said he was going to fight whoever came out of the ring. It was Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre came out and squashed Sami Zayn. I think you're right, man. I think Sami's Dunsky.
I mean, it just, don't you remember, though? Like, and it wasn't that long ago when he was in NXT, and like it was even I who didn't watch NXT knew who he was. So I was excited when he debuted, and it's like outside of a couple of initial feuds where they put him over, it's just like they're just burying him. I think they're doing it on purpose because they figure, well, he's going to go to AEW. Let's just squash him.
Probably. They did that with Dean Ambrose before he left,
and Cesaro, you know, too. Yeah. He was kind of. You know, in the same boat where it's like, all right, we don't really know what to do with you anymore, so we're just going to job you out.
Yeah. And then the show ends with Roman saying he wants to unify the tag belts, which is cool. I'm in for that. I want them to, I don't think we need two different brands anymore. But then Shinsuke comes out to challenge Roman because Boogs is gone. It's cool. I'm happy for Shinsuke, but you know, he's going to lose. There's no way Shinsuke wins those belts.
He's not going to lose. He's going to get Frankie Hernandez.
All right. And then real quick, there was another Raw. We've been gone for a bit, so we have some wrestling to catch up on. But Jerry Lawler was on commentary because Corey Graves got married. Cody goes on Miz TV. There's the Miz feud we talked about. Veer comes out and destroys Dominic Mysterio. More burying of the Mysterios, which is so sad. Damian Priest and AJ have a match, and it ends with Priest doing some weird spooky shit in the ring. The lights go out. He gives like a weird facial expression. I guess that's kind of cool. I don't know. We'll see where that goes.
Maybe he's going to be the new Fiend.
Maybe. I don't know. Cody beats Miz in a solid match.
Was a good match. I will say they had good. Miz, I'll say this. He's an amazing enhancement talent. Like probably the best one because He makes anyone look good.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So we got Cody and Rollins and WrestleMania Backlash, as I mentioned. Tommaso Ciampa of NXT has been called up. He's officially part of SmackDown, or sorry, Raw. Good for him, I guess. Hopefully he doesn't get buried. I don't see him doing anything in Raw that matters. It seems like he's going to feud with Ezekiel or KO, maybe. I don't know, from the promo. Ezekiel comes out and yells at KO, or KO yells at him and wants a lie detector test.
But they have such a good chemistry. Yeah. I'm happy for that. Like, I don't mind a humor promo or sketch, whatever you want to call it, if it's funny. And like, yeah, some, you know, a lot of guys aren't funny, wrestlers and girls. So the humor skits, they fall flat. That will not fall flat with KO and Ezekiel.
Yeah, I think that'll be fun. Liv Morgan comes out, loses to Naomi. I don't really know what's happening here. They just keep losing, and then they keep getting opportunities. Somebody make it make sense, please. I don't understand it. Bobby Lashley calls out MVP. They have a promo. I was asleep at that point.
It wasn't very interesting. Like, Lashley's not good on the mic. A great ring of work with the wrestling and MMA. He was very good in Bellator. I think he beat Herschel Walker or something. The big guy just have him be quiet.
Yeah, just have him stand there, have MVP talk. But I think the reason Bobby became Bobby, the almighty Bobby, is because of MVP. I mean, the reason that whole feud works is because MVP's right. He did make Bobby Lashley interesting. And now without him, he's not that interesting. I don't really care. Then there's some weird Tozawa bachelor party with Reggie and R-Truth and Dana and Tamina, and people are getting married, and I don't, what the fuck?
R-Truth, like, doesn't that guy's still, I mean, he looks amazing. He's like the Black McMahon. Like, he's like, what is this guy? No, I mean, like,
he's in his late 50s.
He looks really good.
Yeah, he looks great. I mean, the old adage is, I guess, right. I'm not going to say it out loud.
It doesn't crack.
It does not crack. Austin Theory now goes by the name Theory, which is dumb.
Okay.
And he gets a U.S. title match against Finn Balor again. We've seen Finn and Theory fight like 7 times already. Whatever. They're going to eventually make Finn drop the belt to this kid because Vince is hard for him. Big old boner for Theory. So I don't know. Bianca comes out, beats Queen Vega. And then Sonya Deville, who is like the authority figure from back in the day, now is abusing her authority and taking a title shot at Bianca. Hopefully she just gets squashed and Bianca keeps the belt, because it would be really dumb for Bianca to drop the belt to Sonya Deville, I think. Then we had RK-Bro defeating Alpha Academy. Again, the same bullshit over and over. Raw has that big problem. They just keep putting the same bullshit matches over and over and over. You would think with post-Mania, it's a new season, let's move on to something new. But nope, they just keep doing the same feuds. So bullshit,
it's just
bullshit.
Lazy booking, and it's, you know, with Triple H now not at NXT, like, you can tell they don't have a lot of confidence to call guys up.
Yeah.
And that's why you're getting so many repeat matches. So I hope whoever is in charge of development now, and that's where you might see Steven Regal's absence, you know, because he was very influential in developing the younger guys. And
William Regal. Stop using his shoot name. My God.
I know. It's crazy. But like, you're starting to see, like, when Regal left, I thought, it's not that big of a deal. He's pretty replaceable. But I was wrong. You're starting to see why he was not replaceable. So
yeah,
hopefully they figure it out, because I'm sick of the same matches.
It's boring, man. So now on to something a little bit more exciting, the AEW stuff. AEW didn't have a Mania event, but they did have an ROH supercard. I'm not going to talk about every match on that card. I'm just going to talk about the Briscoes versus FTR. That was match of the year for me so far. It was one of the best tag matches I've ever seen. I know you probably didn't watch it.
I did, actually.
You watched it.
The Briscoes have me starting to go, okay, I need to not just follow the main guys and, you know, do a little bit more of a deep dive. And that was one of the most amazing tag matches I've ever seen. And Lois even liked it.
Yeah, she's expressing her love right there.
So, sorry. So I hope those guys get onto AEW because they deserve to be seen now. Because they're, would you agree with me, Eddie? They're almost like a cult. Like, they're not incredibly well. I mean, hardcore wrestling fans know them, but I want, like, the casual fans to.
Yeah, they deserve that. They deserve that light for sure. And you know, I think they will with this whole thing, the ROH kind of mixing in and out with AEW's main card. Then we had FTR and the Bucks, which was also really good on the, one of the Dynamites, I thought, or Rampage. I don't know what show it was, but really good match, too. FTR is just kind of like one of the best tag teams in the business right now.
They are almost like that in that AJ Styles category of, we're going to put these guys up against anyone. They're going to look amazing. They're going to have a five-star match.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the FTR is like someone to definitely keep an eye on. And the tag division in AEW, I really like. There's some good tags in that, you know, company and with some ROH potential call-ups. Like, you know, you never really get excited about tag team.
Yeah.
And so I think AEW, if that's where they can maybe move ahead of WWE, it's in the tag division.
For sure. And I know the Bucks get a lot of shit from people about, the, you know, they're too flippy or whatever. They're still one of the best tags in the world. So FTR versus Bucks was a real big match for me. Really awesome. Samoa Joe debuts and advances in that Owen Hart tournament. Good for him. I'm happy for Samoa Joe. I'm glad he's on TV. Especially glad that he's on TV with William Regal.
He looked good.
He looks good, man.
I mean, he looked like maybe he could drop a few pounds.
He looks a little bigger.
But he's still very agile. I mean, for a guy, that's a tough guy to guess his weight because he's kind of like fat in shape.
Yeah,
I'd guess he's 320-ish.
He's around a 3-something, though.
And the fact that he can do the super high leg kick still, I'm excited to see him. Probably this is his last run at, like, a big, you know, possible title run of some sort.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that.
Yes.
Toni Storm debuts. I'm so happy for her. She's a great talent. I'm not just saying that because she's beautiful. I'm also saying that because she's a legitimate wrestler. She debuted. The crowd was into it. Happy for her. Wardlow comes out and kills a bunch of security guards. Cool. I mean, the guy is getting organically over with the crowd, which I love.
The only thing I don't like about the security guard angle, and I do think it is kind of funny, especially with what happened on Dynamite this week where he was in disguise.
Oh, yeah.
I just, that angle of killing the security guards has been done literally thousands of times.
Yeah.
So I wish there was a little bit more of a creative way where they could maybe have him in a jail or something, even though they did that with Goldberg. But, yeah, like, I just, the security guard thing where they're clearly all indie guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Security, because
they're all Santino bros guys. Yeah.
They're all super jacked. And I wish they could come up with a slightly more intriguing way, but it's, you're right. Wardlow is, I do like the building of his character. It's been done very well.
Yep. And I, you know, I like what the new angle there. I think they're done with the security guards, and now MJF is hiring people to try and kill Wardlow, starting with the Butcher, which I feel bad because Butcher's a homie. I know Andy well, and we're friends, and it sucks because I know that Wardlow's probably going to squash him.
No, you can take out probably.
Yeah, he's going to get squashed, unfortunately. Then we had, for some reason, Hook and Danhausen are seemingly feuding or doing things together. I don't want to see this. I think you're stopping the momentum of Hook by putting him in a comedy gimmick with Hook, with Danhausen. I'm still not sold on Danhausen. I know everybody loves him. All the fucking AEW fans, they love Danhausen. I don't. I don't hate the person. I'm sure he's a great guy. I just don't buy the gimmick. So I don't want to see Hook versus Danhausen.
I mean, they're both come with a pretty impressive background, and you know, in terms of high flyers, and I want to see it once, and it better be good, or else they've spent a lot of time building this up to be, oh, let's just scrap this.
Yeah. I think I messed up my notes with Danielson. Danielson had a match, which was fine, and then Wheeler, Yuta, and Moxley had a match, and it was a bloodbath. A bloodbath. At one point, I saw blood spray out of his face during a hold. I mean, wow. And, you know, I put there on the notes, a star is born. Wheeler Yuta, someone who I gave no fucks about. I care now.
100%. I mean, that match, his wound, and I'll assume it wasn't intentional from the standpoint of the severity of it, was like, wow, he's really hurt.
Yeah.
There was that one, I think it was a headlock or a rear naked, where he Moxley squeezed, and it was just like,
sprayed out.
It's like a wave, the crest of a wave came out of his forehead. So definitely, like, I'm in the same boat with Yuta. I was like, oh, he's like a mid-card, you know, I don't know.
He really had him with the friends, the best friends, and it was just comedy kind of bullshit. And now, you know, now he's legit.
Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, the only thing I've seen quite like that was the women's match last year in AEW with...
Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa,
where it was like, oh my God, like it was definitely an attention getter. So I don't know if they intended it to be that severe, whether he bladed too much, or but it was. And Moxley took some shots too. There was a shot of Moxley in the corner where you could tell the left side of his face was swelling up. So he took a beating too. But I'm interested now that they're all
The Blackpool Combat Club. Yeah.
So that's got potential because I love Regal as a leader.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a great thing. I think it's probably the best thing going faction wise in AEW. Props to them for making a star because that shows you can still make a star.
It's just proper good
booking.
Writing.
Good proper booking.
I mean, it's you could take any, I still maintain that you could take the worst person on either roster. In terms of their plot line or where they're at in the car, like I'll take Jake Hager, you know, who I notice is a lot more jacked right now.
Yeah. And that juice.
And not,
that gear.
Yeah, and ain't orange. and you could take him, like he's never really, you know, he had a funny character with the stuttering guy and, you know, the all-American, but if AEW had good writing for him, he could be a star because he's got the look.
Yeah.
He's horrible on the mic, like brutal on the mic. But you're right. Proper writing and booking can make Hornswoggle good.
Yeah, exactly. Now that brings us to Dynamite, which happened on Wednesday a couple days ago. CM Punk defeats Penta. So here's my problem with AEW. I do have a problem. I love AEW. I'm not a mark for AEW. I think they're doing great. But I do have one major problem. A lot of these matches that they put together are dream matches. You know, CM Punk, Penta, that's a dream match for Penta. I mean, he great. But when the outcomes are so predictable, it kind of pulls me away from being invested. Because, like, there's no way that Penta was going to beat CM Punk in this match. You know what I mean? Sure, it's fun to look at the spots and see how the match plays out, but I knew how it was going to end. And that goes for the everything else in the card. Like, I know who's going to win and who's not going to win, and that's not a good thing for me.
I mean, that's a tough one because, you know, Punk's obviously over.
And they're definitely pushing him to get a belt shot soon.
Yeah,
because
I'm sure his price tag was pretty... is pretty big, so you got to justify it. With Penta, it's like I kind of feel bad for him because it's like, hey, sorry, dude, you're gonna put him over and you're gonna basically do the job. And but I don't know realistically how bright his future is. Penta, like, I don't think people are clamoring to put the belt on him.
No, he needs his brother to come back so they can go back into tag division and challenge for that.
Yeah, because I think that's how you blow WWE out of the water. It's much like WCW did with the High Flyers and the Luchas. You concentrate not necessarily on the big guys because you're probably never going to beat the WWE at that game, but you know, you give fans, oh, they have a great AEW's tag division. So if you have Penta and his brother back, and that's an even another amazing tag.
Yeah. Jurassic Express defeats the Red Dragons, which, again, like I said, predictable. I was not expecting the Jurassic Express to drop the belts on Dynamite. You know, it just doesn't make sense. So predictable endings kind of pull me out of the investment. But it was a good match, and the Red Dragon dudes got a good heat afterwards by chair shots and flipping off the crowd. So they're doing good work as heels there. FTR comes out. You know, they're the ROH and AAA champions right now, and kind of started some heat between them and the Red Dragon and Jurassic. So maybe they're trying to go get three belts. It'd be cool if FTR goes and gets the AEW tag championships from Jurassic Express and just has three championships. That would be ridiculous.
I mean, it's never been done before, as far as I know. I don't think it's been done with two belts, although I'm sure it has, you know, in something, some era I wasn't paying attention to.
Yeah.
But I definitely know I don't think any tag team's ever had three belts.
Yeah, that'd be ridiculous, but cool, I think. And that would put FTR over, you know, over the moon. Then we had another Wardlow MJF situation where Wardlow killed another 100 security guards and caused a distraction, which led to Captain Sean Dean now having two wins over MJF and a T-shirt to boot. He had a shirt that says, "I beat you and you know it." So good for him for getting, you know, some merch out of this.
I do like this angle, and I know it's just probably a short-term angle. But, you know, Sean Dean, I don't know, for some reason he reminds me of Norman Smiley. you know, when they had this angle here, reminds me of when they had Norman Smiley, who once told me to fuck off at the Beverly Center.
Nice.
I think we went over that in the Barnett episode.
Yeah.
But they had him as the hardcore champ, and he was not a hardcore wrestler. So good for Sean Dean. He gets a couple bucks from ProWrestlingTees.com.
Yep.
By the way, I have a shirt there. We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
But it's a fun. It's almost bordering on a humor angle.
Yeah, at this point, you know, yeah. It's good for MJF to get a couple losses on his record, because that's another thing AEW does, that there's too many people undefeated. There's too many streaks going on in AEW. So I like to see that MJF is getting a couple losses on his record.
And he looked great, by the way. His body, he definitely, him and Jake Hager must be working out together.
Yeah.
If you notice, he was a lot more cut.
Yeah, yeah. When he took the jacket off, it was, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We got a couple promos, one from Darby Allin and one from Malakai Black. What the fuck, AEW? Why do you have Malakai Black feuding with Fuego del Sol? Get out of here. Move on. I don't like this. Move on.
They're dropping the ball with Malakai Black. I like the feud with Rhodes. That was a good... but you bring this guy in, and I just don't get it. That, and just real fast on the Darby promo, this is weird. Like,
why was there wedding music playing?
Yeah, so
what's happening? Even my wife was like, is he getting married? I'm like, no, it's a coffin match. So why is there wedding music playing? I don't.
I mean, when I think of coffin matches, I think of The Undertaker and Kamala. So
yeah.
It better live up to that shit.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, Andrade is a great talent, so I'm excited for the match because I think Andrade Darby is a good match. I just don't know why it has to be a coffin match. Don't really care. The Jericho Asshole Society, I mean, the Appreciation Society, defeats LAX. You know, Jericho hits Eddie Kingston with a bat, and Daniel Garcia gets a pin. This is a cool feud. You know, if you've been following, you know that LAX is Eddie Kingston and the, you know, Santana and Ortiz, who were in Jericho's old faction, and now they're, you know, it's a good blood feud. I think this is going to end up in some kind of crazy blood and guts or cage match or some kind of weird thing where they just beat the shit out of each other, probably at like Double or Nothing or one of those things.
Well, I hope they do a WCW electric chair match when remember that when Abdullah the Butcher got electrocuted?
Yeah, I mean, something crazy is going to happen. Hopefully it's not a mimosa match. So we'll see what happens there. By the way, shout out to Chris Jericho. You look great, dude. Good job cutting back on the booze, because like a year and a half ago, he was swollen to the gills. He looked like he was going to burst in the ring. And now he's got abs. So yeah. Good for you, dude.
No, he's Jericho is an amazing in and out of the ring person. So, and he's still interesting in the ring. You think usually guys of his era, it's like, all right, we've seen it all with this guy. We're kind of bored, but he's also another one of those guys that's very good at playing a face and a heel.
Yeah, yeah. And right now he's kind of in between because he's a heel, but he's also letting the crowd sing his song. And he's letting the other jerks in his crew be the jerks.
Yeah.
So it's cool. I like it. Marina Shafir came out and defeated Sky Blue, and boy oh boy, do I feel bad for Marina Shafir. The crowd did not give a single fuck. They weren't even booing. It was just dead silent. And I feel bad because that she's a real talent. Like, that's Barnett's student, you know? Like, that's a real legitimate MMA fighter who came out and no one gave a shit. It was really sad.
I mean, that's the thing with it's one of my very few complaints about AEW is the women's division outside of Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa. It's just you don't necessarily care about really in many of the other ones. So hopefully they can rectify that with, you know, some good riding, good booking. But, you know, right now it's the women's matches, or unless it's Baker or Thunder Rose, it's bathroom break time.
Yeah, pretty much. Team Taz defeated Keith Lee and Swerve with Taz interfering. I think Keith Lee and Swerve needed to win, but whatever. I like Taz interfering. I like Taz getting more physically involved. I don't want him to have a match or anything, but I like him kind of just doing some stuff.
I will say, though, Hobbs, I thought this was a breakout match for him.
Sure, yeah.
Because that's a guy, obviously got the size. I don't know if he's terrible on the mic, but he needs some work. But yeah, with that size, and, you know, I'm okay with him winning. I love Keith Lee. Like, his power moves are unreal. But I think they're smart to almost... You could tell they're trying to build a heavyweight division to kind of go at McMahon, you know, with the super giants, and we'll talk about super giants later.
In a minute here.
I'd like to see a feud between Lee and Hobbs. They had good chemistry, oddly enough.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like two worlds colliding there, you know? There's two massive dudes just crashing into each other, which we, you know, we're not going to get into the whole thing, but it took you to your first New Japan show, and you got to see some two giant dudes collide in the ring as well.
I did, you know. Eddie said, "Hey, do you want to go to New Japan?" And I'm not going to lie to you. Like, we've talked about, New Japan in America is kind of hard. You know, if you're not looking for it, it's hard to find. And it was about 12 matches.
12
on the
matches,
card.
Yeah.
A little long, I thought, but yeah. I enjoyed every match. Like, think about that, 12 matches, and usually there'd be a filler match or, you know, something I didn't like, that tag match. I enjoyed every single match on that card, and got to see some AEW guys like Brody Lee and
Brody Lee came out.
Jay White.
They had the QT Marshall and his crew came out. And
he was funny because the crowd kept yelling, "You got a fake Rolex!"
Yeah. They hated him.
And he was a good heel manager. And who was the big guy? Kratos,
JR Kratos. Yeah,
he is. If you haven't seen that guy, he is, I could see him in one of the two organizations sooner than later, because he's this gigantic dude. And I don't know if he did it on purpose, but he wears really tiny shorts.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. Like, they look like diapers on him. But he's massive.
Yeah. I mean, you know, great car. You know, so the thing about that New Japan show, that they were filming for they have a TV show where they do a weekly thing, and it's only an hour long. So they only have a couple matches on the show. So they were filming like 4 weeks worth of TV shows that night. So that's going to be, you're going to catch those matches on New Japan World or whatever it is. But, you know, we got to see our buddy Rocky. That was great.
Who finally won.
Finally won a match that I was there for, because I've seen him a few times and always gets put down. But he won. So good for him. New Japan did lead into what is AEW Dynamite's final match of the night, which I am so happy about, because I am not an AEW mark and I am not a WWE mark.
But
I am a independent wrestling New Japan mark. So when I saw Samoa Joe versus Suzuki, I had a very erect mental boner. I was very, very excited for this match, and it did not disappoint.
The first 5 minutes, if you're not into watching whole matches, I get it. Sometimes I speed through them, but the first 5 minutes where they basically... It's five straight minutes of hard chops.
Yeah, you see the bruising happening on Samoa Joe's neck and shoulder. It's just so ridiculous.
But it really got you into the rest of the match, because it was like a slow build, like, you know, Kiss starting out with an acoustic song, and then they amp it up with each song, and it was very well done. You could tell those guys had good chemistry, and Joe, like, I hope they position him as the ass kicker he is.
Yeah. This definitely helped. You know, I predicted the ending, because Suzuki's got to go back to Japan, and he's not going to take that ROH television championship with him. So I knew he was going to drop this belt to Joe, because Joe's going to be here, and he's probably going to be a main part of ROH moving forward. I'm sure he'll still pop into AEW, but I think he's going to be the face of ROH for a while. Good match all the way through. Super happy. That muscle buster at the end, the crowd popped. I mean, it was fantastic. And then it was almost like Vince McMahon walked into the building and took over the booking. because Jay Lethal and Sanjay Dutt, however you say his name, gave a present to Samoa Joe, which was a box with a giant middle finger.
I did think that was funny.
That
I did
was
laugh.
Funny. But then the lights go out, and Satnam Singh, who is a former basketball player, apparently, a 7 foot, 2 inch guy, is standing behind Samoa Joe, and then just kind of giant Gonzalez squeezes his head. Like, what the fuck? And to the point that Tony Khan today on Twitter apologized.
I mean, here's the thing, and it's my only... I have two major critiques of AEW. One, the matches are too choreographed.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with this.
Sure, sure.
But their debuts are either great
or awful.
Yeah. Like, you know, I think the greatest debut they've any company's ever done was Adam Cole and then Danielson. Because at first, I think when the lights went down, you're like, oh, this is Danielson. And I don't think anyone thought Cole was coming out. And then you followed up with Danielson like the same night. I thought that was brilliant. You know, Christian Cage, and I'm a huge Where Are My Peeps guy, a little flat. Jay Lethal, a little flat.
Yeah.
And I love Jay Lethal. And, you know, Jay White was just the way they did it was like, who's this guy? Obviously amazing.
Sure.
I thought they could have built him up before. Like,
He hasn't had a match yet. So he just came out and did like a interference thing, I think.
But like, if you don't watch New Japan, which I think the majority of people who watch AEW don't, you're like, okay, this guy looks like an ass kicker. So this might be the worst debut of all time. Think about that.
So bad, dude. So bad. That's the thing. Yeah, you know, to your point, AEW does debuts sometimes, assuming that their fans are watching everything else. They're watching Impact, they're watching New Japan, and they can't assume that.
Well, it's just the only way that works is if it's obviously Bray. That would have blown up the internet to a smaller degree, Strowman, because he's, I noticed lately, losing a lot of fan support online.
Sure, yeah.
For many reasons.
Yeah.
By the way, kudos to Buff Bagwell for joining Twitter and just burying him in one tweet.
Called him a fart. That was great.
And, you know, this guy's saying, here's one of the many problems with that is, I think when a guy debuts like that, it's like, oh my God, who is this guy? Like, you build it up like, this guy's basically stormed backstage and came out here. Shivani, who's a legend, is like, oh, I've seen him training at the plant. Like,
yeah.
It was not done well in any capacity. Clearly, the guy's a giant, but you could tell he's such little training that when he was grabbing Samoa Joe's head, he wasn't even squeezing.
No, yeah, he was just holding his head.
Like, it was like, if I'm holding you right now like this, it's clear I'm not squeezing Fast Eddie. Yeah. You know, he's got to make a grimace or something. So Joe probably was like, fuck you, I'm not selling this to this clown.
Yeah, he just ruined his win over Suzuki, one of the best matches that they've had in, you know, a few weeks, and they just ruined it with this debut. It was just...
Well, that's what I don't understand. Like, what's the purpose of this feud? I'm assuming it's to build up this tall guy, maybe for AEW and Joe goes to ROH, but, like, Joe is a legend, and like, you kind of... It's like a Russo angle where clearly you're not meaning to bury the guy, Samoa Joe, because, you know, you just haven't won the belt, but, like, you kind of are when you've got to, and the crowd was dead.
No one gave a fuck.
But
I'm going to go a little inside baseball. I do have some insider information that, you know, Discovery has purchased Warner Media, which, you know, runs TNT and TBS. And they're working on a big deal for India. They want AEW presence in India. And that's what this was. This was them trying to put a big Indian star in a spotlight position so that they can then pivot to kind of, you know, more presence in India. It's a Vince McMahon move. I'm sorry. It's not a good move. It's not a good look, regardless.
I mean, I get that, but to me, the bigger pop, and it would have been horrible, but you could sales pitch me, is bringing the great Khali back.
Sure.
You know, because he's known. I think people, oh, my God, that, you know, oh, he's here. Like, we didn't hear anything about this online.
Yeah.
But you didn't hear anything about Singh online, and because nobody knows who he is. He might be a great worker down the road. But
yeah, he's new. We got to give him a shot. I get that. But, yeah, nobody knew. And nobody even, my friends that watch basketball didn't even know who he was.
That took Dynamite, in my opinion, up until that point, from an A-minus to a B-minus, C-plus. It's like, what?
Yeah, very bad, very bad. You could have saved that for a different event. If you wanted to debut somebody, why didn't they debut Claudio, Cesaro?
Yeah.
The crowd would have lost their minds if Cesaro would have popped and in the ring and, you know, confronted Samoa Joe.
Yeah, I was talking with a friend today, and I'm like, because they called me up and said, what'd you think of that ending? Oh, we know you like the big guys. And I was like, it works. Obviously, Bray, that's a no-brainer.
Sure.
The crowd, you know, the internet would have broke. And I said, you know, Strowman to a degree, but his star is kind of starting to fade because of some different things. I said, Cesaro maybe is the only other person where it's like, oh, my God, he's here. And he gives him a forearm, and then they have a ROH. I don't know if they put Cesaro in Ring of Honor, but, like, it'd be a, like, okay, at least we know who that guy is.
Yeah, it would have been way more exciting than whoever Singh is. No. That's my that was my review of Dynamite after my favorite match. You gave me my favorite thing, and then you shat all over it. And again, Tony Khan came out on Twitter and apologized for it. He's like, I could have done that better. Yeah, no shit. So anyway, we're done with Dynamite. There's a lot of matches coming up. You know, they've got Rampage, which happened today. We haven't seen it, so we're not going to talk about it, but there is a Texas Death Match with Hangman and Adam Cole. The Blackpool Combat Club is going up against the Gun Club, which I thought was cool. Owen Hart tournament's happening with Ruby Soho and some jobber. We know Ruby's going to win. There's Battle of the Belts on Saturday tomorrow. Scorpio Sky and Sammy for the TNT title. Jonathan Gresham and Dalton Castle for the ROH title. I mean, that's cool. Those guys deserve some TV time, some AEW TV time. Gresham is one of the best workers that hasn't been in a big organization yet, and I'm happy for him to get some TV time so people can see him. And Dalton Castle, to me, I mean, I'm a big fan of the big flamboyant wrestlers. I think there should be more of them. My wife and I, we talk about it all the time. I wish Dustin Rhodes would go back to the old Gold Dust where he was a pervert, over the top, fucking flamboyant. Like, I love it. So I'm excited for that. And then Thunder Rosa and Nyla Rose for the women's title. I don't see Thunder Rosa dropping the title this soon in her first title defense. So that's kind of a predictable ending as well. And then Dynamite next week, Butcher and Wardlow, Hook doing his Dynamite debut. We got the Owen Hart tournament with Britt Baker versus another jobber. Guess who's winning that one? Owen Hart tournament for the men's with Jungle Boy and Kyle O'Reilly. That one I can't predict. I think maybe Kyle O'Reilly. But, you know, pretty decent. We already talked about Andrade and Darby for the coffin match. And then Tony Khan doing a huge, massive announcement was teased. That's the only thing I want to talk about with you and do like a prediction. I think it's the announcement of the Discovery thing with WarnerMedia and announcing that Discovery Plus will have AEW as a streaming service along with ROH and their entire library. I think that's what it is.
I mean, I hope it's more than that. You know, I think Tony Khan feels, and that's a big deal, but like, I think Khan feels the pressure of, you know, the new debut not going so well. So, and, you know, rich guys, they don't like to lose. So I could see him squeezing in a debut. We missed the mark last week. And that's my problem is they're doing too many debuts.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's a huge, you know, they're setting themselves up for failure. When you go huge announcement, fans aren't going to necessarily pop for the streaming service announcement.
Yeah. I mean, it's exciting for fans to be able to go back and revisit stuff.
No, 100%.
But yeah, it's not a big pop.
It's not, I don't think people are going to, whether they're in the arena or watching TV, going, oh my God, that's wackadoon. If it's another debut, it has to be Cesaro. It just has to be, because they dropped the ball this week with Singh. Because you know they're going to have him on this week probably. And it's like, you know.
Stick him in ROH. Don't put him on Dynamite or Rampage. But the only other thing I can think of is a trio's title. Because they have been building up a lot of trio factions.
Right.
We got Blackpool Combat Club. We got Gun Club. We got the House of Black. We got Now, there's a lot of trios. The Red Dragon with Adam Cole, you know, the Undisputed Era. Like, maybe they introduce a trios title, which existed in Japan, the six-man tag titles. So maybe that's, maybe that.
I mean, it's tough to say because AEW, you know, they're kind of like the Trump presidency. They're wild cards. You know, Tony Khan, he strikes me as the guy who wakes up and goes, I want to do this today. Well, you can't, Mr. Khan. Well, I'm Tony Khan. We're doing it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, huge announcement. Be Bray. I haven't heard that at all. Strowman, Cesaro, you know.
Well, usually when it's a signing, when it's a debut, they push it as such. They'll say, next week, huge signing. You know, they say signing.
And they're awful.
Yeah, this time it's announcement. So that's why I don't think it's a debut. Maybe.
Maybe he bought another company.
Maybe he bought Impact.
which would be great. No, I mean, you know, I mean, he's got the money to do this stuff. So, like, that's what's great about him is, unlike other competitors with WWE in the past, he's got the bank. You know, Ted Turner had the bank. So, you know, maybe Flair, you know, which would, you know, I don't want to see Flair wrestle anymore. Even, you know, he just, in high def, he's pretty brutal looking right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he makes Edge look like one of the Backstreet Boys. so it's interesting. You know, it could be, it should be the streaming service, but knowing Khan, and he probably feels bad about last week, he's probably calling every independent guy, every free agent, going, hey, we need to make up for last week.
Right. Yeah. Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you so much for sticking with us this entire time. I know it was a lot of wrestling. You know, we're hoping to maybe do these a little bit more frequently so we don't have these massive gaps of information to kind of go over, and also have some more guests. You know, we apologize for not having guests this week, but we have some big names in the pipeline. I'm not going to reveal.
They are, and, you know, if you want a little teaser, one of these big names, and it's really one of the biggest names you can get in the world of professional wrestling, given this person's history, has been on Inappropriate Earl. So do a deep dive. That's not like some shameless plug, but I think you will enjoy when we have someone sitting right there. And I really want to give a hint, but I don't want to blow it. So tweet at us, maybe, who you think it could be.
Yeah, don't tweet because we don't have a Twitter.
Oh,
but
never mind.
Email us, comedystorewrestling@gmail.com, or hit us up on Instagram. We have our Instagram up and running at Comedy Store Wrestling. I'll probably put up a poll on one of the stories, and they'll be like, you know, what do you think is going to be the guest? But yeah, follow us on Instagram. Send us an email. Earl, shameless plug time. Go for it.
You thought the podcast was long? My plug time was going to be just about as long. No, I'm just kidding. I'm at Earl Skakel on all social media, EARLSKAKEL. And, of course, after you listen to these episodes on the Comedy Store Network, Comedy Store Podcast Network, please go and listen to select episodes of Inappropriate Earl. Past wrestling guests have been Chavo Guerrero, Eric Bischoff, Virgil, where the whole time he just talked about how big his dick was.
Breadstick, Olive Garden.
You know, many, many other people, David Arquette. So, you know, it's a good companion piece to this podcast. And that's about it. I'm at the Comedy Store. Check the website. If you're a fan of the show, you get free admission if you DM me on Instagram or Eddie, and I'll take care of you.
Yeah, we'll take care of you. And for me, follow me at RRBG Podcast. That stands for Rock and Roll Beer Guy Podcast. If you're a wrestling fan, I've had tons of wrestlers on, including Josh Barnett, Penta El Cero Miedo. We've had a whole podcast in Spanish, which I spent 3 weeks translating into English subtitles for you so you can understand what we're talking about. But we have Penta. I have The Butcher on. I recently had Jonah from New Japan on. So check it out. I also talked to a bunch of musicians and whatnot, but at RRBG Podcast, please follow us at Comedy Store Wrestling. Email us, support Comedy Store Wrestling. Cheers.